This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello and welcome to The Bunker Daily. I am your host, Alex Andreu. Richard Branson once said that a brand is like an artist's signature. Good brands reflect the group of people that made them. They cannot be copied. They cannot be recycled. It is perhaps no wonder then that when it came to Twitter, Elon Musk's instinct was to erase that group of people, to deface the previous artist's signature, to quite literally cross it off. My guest today heads the Psychology of Advertising Master's Program at Lancaster University. He's here to help us understand whether the new mysterious X in our life is a sign of danger or marks the location of treasure. Welcome to The Bunker, Leslie Hallam.
Thanks, Alex.
Leslie, can we start with something a little general? What are the reasons a company might choose to rebrand a product?
I guess there are a number of potential reasons, depending where the company is in its life cycle and what's been happening in the surrounding environment. In some cases, clearly the company has outgrown its original manifestations and wants to maybe change direction or stretch the brand so it can incorporate new things. Apple Computers would be a good example. Originally, Apple Computers limits it to computers. Apple allowed it to expand into a really big market in music and other environments, of course, phones. So that's one commercial reason. And lots of brands have changed recently in response to a greater sensitivity in culture around the original brand names being somewhat racist or misogynistic. A whole bunch of football teams in America have changed from anything from the Braves and the Indians to more anodyne connotations. People are very sensitive about these things in society, and quite rightly, people change their brands in order to reflect societal values. Otherwise, they are left by the wayside.
And setting aside an actual new brand name or logo or identity. So without making a value judgment on that, just on the process of doing it, are there good ways to rebrand and less good ways to do it?
Well, it depends where your brand is in the firmament. I think perhaps what we don't realize is that these things are happening all the time. They fly under the radar, and only people who are devotees of the brand even notice and might pay any attention. When it's a major brand, when it's a controversial brand, as with Twitter, and maybe a well-loved brand with lots of loyalists, then people do notice, and it hits the media in a big way. People just kind of get on with it by and large and make small changes or change logos or, you know, actually change the entire brand to maybe put a red line under where they've been in the past and the negative associations that some brands have. Comcast in America was a good example. People really started to kind of be worn down by them. They changed to Xfinity with some success, not entirely. But, you know, if it's a big brand that everyone knows about and it hits the media, then, of course, you need to do different things. You need to placate people because people actually mourn the loss of these brands. They are important cultural artifacts to many people.
Again, ignoring the actual X and what that means and why that is, what do you think is the reason for Musk wanting to rebrand in the first place, and how smooth do you think this process has gone?
Elon Musk has a reputation and an image in the media. He is himself a brand, with brand associations, one of them being a disruptor of markets, one of them being a pioneer, and a buccaneer perhaps would be a better word. So I think it plays to his brand that he's doing this. I suspect he's had this in mind right from way before there was any talk of purchase, given his history with the X marks the spot with the brand, X Core Holdings, etc., and he's had SpaceX. X is clearly important to Elon Musk. I can completely see the business case for, at this point, having kind of run it, not quite into the ground, but, you know, he's caused some damage there for whatever reason. Whether it's intentional or not, I suspect not entirely, but you know, there are some people that were perhaps not going to be core supporters of where he wanted to go with it. So he's cut some of those people away, and he's now in a position where, in a way, he's got nothing much to lose. If he carries on doing what he's doing with Twitter as a brand, he may just, you know, sink it right into the ground. So I can see it's, despite the competition being quite aggressive and launching around him, in a sense, it's the commercially, it's the right moment to do it, I think, and gives him the ability to bring it within the Elon Musk family, X being the designator for a lot of his brands, and his original brand, indeed, X.com.
Yeah, that's what became, well, one half of what became PayPal, isn't it? So it's his very first big venture.
Yeah, it changed to PayPal when he sold it. And he then retained, or I think bought back, the X.com designator. So he's clearly very attached to this as a brand. And I can see why. It has a simplicity, and it's a nice set of semiology that surrounds it. So it's got quite a lot going for it. The downside is that Twitter had a lot going for it as well. And people were very fond of that, including the logo and the kind of slightly parochial, I wouldn't say natural, but, you know, kind of the idea of a bucolic paradise with birds singing in the background, etc. That was all part of the brand. I mean, to be honest, a lot of people, when Twitter first launched, thought that was just nonsense. It was just a silly thing to have. And people didn't like that either. So it's very easy to forget these things 10, 15 years hence. It had some real detractors when it first launched as being a bit trivial. And it's found its way into our psyche over that period very effectively.
Listen, you specialize on trying to quantify the unquantifiable in many ways, trying to glean the psychological effect of a brand on potential or existing consumers. So I don't feel so bad asking you this imponderable. What is Musk saying to Twitter users like me, who will always see myself as a Twitter user? And what is he saying to potential X users out there?
The reality that's driven him is that he needs to draw a line under where Twitter was very effectively. If he'd have carried on with Twitter, then yes, there's a core loyal fan base there who will keep going until the very end. But the real problem, I think, for him is that he's losing advertisers over that period too. And that's the basis of the income from the brand. He needs to do some major repairs. And, you know, you can maybe put sticking plasters over it and allow this controversial figure back on or not. And that will polarize the market, get some people back involved, maybe not others, to reinvent it as a major platform, which champions, as he would say, free speech, which seems to be his intention. I mean, that gives him enormous power, owning a platform that has that sobriquet, much greater than any newspapers where we're used to thinking of having a swaying massive political power. Twitter has a huge amount of power available to Elon Musk. So I can see if that's where he wants to go with it. In a sense, he's got to say, well, look, we've done that. You understand what the entity is, what the process is. This is a new way of doing it, and that allows him to do things that he couldn't have done with Twitter, simply couldn't have done. And I think one of the things that he's talked about in the past has been developing it in the way that WeChat works in China, which is both a social media platform, but also allows you to pay your bills or hire a cab or, you know, do all kinds of other things. And his idea of an app that is for everything everywhere, I think, is probably in line with his ambitions for X.
The problem is this, okay? Coke makes a drink. You know, Oil of Olas makes a face cream. Twitter consists of the content that effectively its users create. And as a voracious Twitter user, I may never come to see it as X. And if you put it on the continuum of my DMs being limited and my feed being limited and blue ticks being for sale and aggressive advertising and improper moderation, it simply feels like this is part of a process during which some rich asshole keeps taking stuff away from me. And with so many rivals eyeing up that market space, isn't there also a danger that a lot of people will say, I'll post my videos and my funny memes somewhere else?
There is, I think, a real danger. I think Twitter has become kind of part of our shared mental landscape, and it's a really powerful brand. I'm not a big user of Twitter, and I don't regard myself as particularly dexterous when it comes to social media, but I know all about it. And it has cut a really deep sway, I think, in our psyches in the West. However, there are some downsides to Twitter, which I think Musk, in his more enlightened moments, would see as getting in his way. And some of that is a kind of slightly... Well, the dichotomy between, on the one hand, Twitter being a bit nice and it's lovely and it's birds singing and, you know, spring days. Incidentally, birds singing on a spring day are saying, keep out of my sodding tree.
That's a good point.
So, yeah, maybe he wants to get rid of some of that and embrace some of the downside of Twitter, of which there is plenty to embrace. And having a rebrand away from Twitter, whether it's X or anything else, you know, to some extent starts to cut that away from the brand and those associations. And it's not just a nice thing that maybe you let your kids go on if you want to. It becomes quite a dark shadow side brand to allow us quite dark expressions. I mean, some like the red pill on Reddit, there are some versions of this already out there. I can see that it gives a lot of people potential to express things they would find difficult otherwise. And indeed, Twitter has that already.
I think I know what you mean, that white on black X looks quite austere. It looks quite militaristic in a weird way. It's not a welcoming place. It doesn't feel like a welcoming place. But and although I accept everything you just said, I still cannot understand what the bar was for taking this enormous amount of money and just starting X and making that a success without the rancor that goes with destroying something that people quite liked. I would have thought that reputationally it would be cheaper and probably have a better chance of success.
Yeah, perhaps so. Although I can't think what it's called now, but the Trump social media platform, he tried to do the same thing when he got kicked off Twitter. And it was really hard going, clearly. He didn't ever get the numbers, got nowhere near the numbers. It exists still in a rudimentary form. I think the risk in the scenario you're describing is that Musk throws lots of money at it and it doesn't take off. And it is competing against Twitter, the original full-fat version of Twitter, which has got its loyalists. To swap people across from a platform to which they're very loyal and in which they're embedded, I think would be have its own difficulties associated with it. So perhaps it was simply a commercial decision to just buy the farm and we'll make something of it rather than setting up a farm next door and, you know, waiting for the trees to grow in a year and then planting it. You know, it's a long time that might take. So, and that's without all the competition coming out of the woodwork with Threads and even TikTok now, allowing messaging, pushing messaging. So maybe he just wanted to get on with it. He's a man in a hurry. And as I said, you know, it is his brand very much to get out there and then knock it about a bit, see what happens.
going back to the Branson aphorism that I began with, and I don't know if you agree with it or not, I guess an artist's signature is part of what makes the thing you buy valuable. So defacing that, you know, Twitter has entered the lexicon, as have the words tweet and retweeted, and there does feel like there is economic value in having established that, like a hell of a lot of it, which you're simply putting in the bin. That's the bit that I don't understand, the business bit of it.
I couldn't agree more. I think you're not alone in that analysis or that confusion in why he does what he does. the image that's presented to us is this guy's a genius. He's made huge amounts of money doing things that none of us quite understand. Some of them, like the kind of, you know, the boring company and things, we're still waiting for the fruits of his labor there. But still, we can see that it's like a really clever child suggesting things and going out and doing them. And I think that's really what this is about too. It's about saying, yeah, I can do anything I like, really. He is very, very rich. And he's taking a big hit on this, but he doesn't seem to care.
So are you saying that we're trying to read strategic vision into something that is the equivalent of an adolescent scratching Elon was here into his desk, basically?
Yeah, I think perhaps even pre-adolescent, to be honest. You know, that's not necessarily a terribly bad thing. I think the mistake that we often make as observers of these things is to think, oh, this guy's got a huge amount of money, he's made lots of money, he must be really clever. And often, you know, people are not by any means stupid, but they're very lucky as well to make lots of money. And we discount that element. They do it themselves. You know, if you talk to people who've made a lot of money, they hold forth as if they know everything about everything in the world. And you're stupid if you don't listen to them. Actually, they've been really lucky to make the money in most cases. And as has been shown in numerous studies of people playing Wall Street and, you know, stockbrokers, etc., and London Exchange. They're not very clever people. They're just really lucky people. And the ones that aren't lucky don't survive.
Do you know the Tesla E episode, which I think would lend quite a lot of support to what you're saying, because he wanted to issue a Tesla E and was prevented from doing so by Ford because they had decided they were going to name their entire electric vehicle decision Model E. And they didn't want someone to put a trademark on that. And he spent an enormous amount of time and money on trying to make this happen. And it turns out it was purely because, and I quote, well, we have the S and the X, so we might as well make the E. So his thinking was literally that he just wanted the three generations of Tesla cars to spell the word sex.
Yes, indeed. And I think he's got a Y, Model Y as well, so it's sexy. The guy is a child, really, in a man's body, I think it's fair to say.
Right. Let's wrap this up. You wrote on this rebranding for The Conversation, and you say that sometimes a fire doesn't give you a phoenix. Instead, it just gives you ashes. Which way do you think Twitter cum X is heading? Go on. Give us your best crystal ball prediction.
I honestly think that he will make this work. I think there is a darker side to it now and less of the entertainment value that went with Twitter. But I think he has enough resource and enough people that will back him to just simply make it work. I think it will be a diminished version of what Twitter was in its heyday. But over time, you know, things change, society changes, and that's unpredictable. You know, 3 years out, nobody can predict anything anymore. But I think this will be a good, solid foundation for him to build what he wants to build, which is the WeChat version. Mm. And that will make it commercially viable at that point. It won't be what we've had in the past. It won't be, well, any cuteness about it in the way that Twitter did. And tweeting will be something consigned to history, I'm afraid. I'm not sure what we'll end up calling it. I don't think...
Xing? Are you all my exes now?
I don't think we have a word for it yet. But of course, what happens is either someone comes along and in a design company, like a Perfect Curve on W1A, they come up with all these things and people are like, what the hell is that? Or we allow the public to form their own opinions. And I think it will, you know, the right version will come along and people will adopt it. So, you know, I hope it won't be Boatman at Boatface, but you never know. You can't always trust the public about these things.
Leslie Hallam, thank you so much for a fascinating chat.
Thanks, Alex.
Remember, there's a new Bunker pretty much every day. So if you like our work, you can and should support our work. You can do so for as little as £3 a month on the funding platform Patreon. Just search Bunker Podcast Patreon. Early on in his career, Musk talked about branding. Brand is just a perception, he said, and perception will match reality over time. Sometimes it will be ahead, other times it will be behind. But brand is simply a collective impression. So maybe there is deeper significance to this. Then again, he also said, if aliens built the pyramids, they would have left a computer behind or something. So maybe there isn't. This is Alex Andreu in the Bunker saying over and out.
Hello, I'm Ros Taylor with news of Oh God, What Now?, the politics podcast that's never going to leave its voter ID at home. On Friday's show, it's 6 months until the US election and Donald Trump is stuck sitting on trial in a New York courthouse. Is he bulletproof or can Joe Biden turn around the polls? In the second half, it's local elections week, but we've steadily taken power away from local authorities. What if we gave it back? And in the extra bit for supporters, is there a right level of ruthlessness in politics? That's Oh God, What Now? With me, Ros Taylor, Raphael Baer, Hannah Fern, guest Nikki McCann Ramirez, out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bunker Daily was presented by Alex Andreu. The group editor was Andrew Harrison, the managing editor was Jacob Jarvis, and the producers were Liam Tate and me, Alex Rees. Art direction by James Parrott, music by Kenny Dickinson. The Bunker is a Podmasters production.